Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the honor of welcoming me into your community. I moved to Fort Collins from Boston, and one of my favorite places in Boston is the Museum of Fine Arts. Whenever I go, I always have to start my visit on the second floor in the fourth gallery, where the museum houses its collection of Claude Monet. I sit on the same bench in the same spot each time, and I spend time with my favorite paintings. So you can imagine my excitement when I learned that the Denver Museum of Art will be hosting later on in the fall the only North American exhibit of works by Claude Monet. I can't wait to buy my ticket, go to the gallery, find my spot on the bench, and gaze at some of Monet's greatest works. Hearing about this upcoming exhibit, though, reminded me of a story that I had heard, a story about art. And this story doesn't take place here or in Denver or in Europe. No, this story takes place in an unexpected place, one we do not usually associate with great works of art. This story takes place in Afghanistan. The Afghan National Gallery of Art is located on a small, quiet street in the capital. At one time, it held some of the most beautiful treasures of the ancient world, as well as paintings by well-known artists from every century and every country. One story, our story, takes place there, a story that was told by a reporter from the United States who went to Afghanistan in search of art and artist. You see, it wasn't an easy search. Once upon a time, Afghanistan was filled with musicians and dancers and drummers and metal workers and silversmiths and weavers and sculptors and, of course, painters, many of whom were carrying on centuries-old traditions. But when the Taliban took control of the country years ago, most art and artistic activity was banned, being condemned as anti-Islamic or blasphemous. All visual works of art, any art bearing a depiction of faces or animals or people, were particularly singled out for destruction. We all recall that terrible day when those huge statues of Buddha were blown up. The artists, the musicians, and the craftsmen all fled underground, those who were lucky enough to flee. Artistic activity came to a standstill, and individual artists began to disappear. Shops were closed. Instruments were carefully hidden away, and museum doors were shut, seemingly forever. But then the Taliban was driven out of power and out of the capital, and soon, slowly, the artists began coming out of their hiding places. It was at this point in our story that the reporter arrives. After much searching, he was able to make contact with many of the hidden artists. Through word of mouth, addresses whispered in his ear, encoded messages written on pieces of paper carefully slipped into his hand, he was able to track down those once hidden musicians and artists and interview them. And during one of these interviews, he was told to go to the National Gallery of Art and to see the curator of the museum. He arrived at the museum, not knowing what to expect. He knew that many of the treasures once housed at the museum had been looted. But he also knew that many wonderful paintings were still rumored to be hidden there. But as he walked among the rooms of the museum, he could not hide his disappointment, for wall after wall after wall held nothing but bland watercolor landscapes. And that's when he saw him. There at the end of a long corridor was the curator, standing on a ladder, slowly and carefully washing one of those landscapes with water and an old cloth. As the reporter drew closer, he noticed that faces began to show. Faces of people, faces of animals, and soon the magnificent painting with all of its colors and figures and all of its original beauty reemerged. The curator greeted the reporter warmly and then moved the ladder to the next painting. And once again, dipping that old cloth into the bucket, began removing the watercolor paint, washing off the bland colors that he himself had painted when the Taliban first came to power. Out of concern for the art, and perhaps out of fear for his life, that curator had quickly gone through the museum himself, painting over faces and animals and people, anything that the Taliban might deem blasphemous. He had painted over everything, disguising it all as watercolor landscapes. But on that night, the very same night that the reporter came, he was happily destroying his own work with joy on his tired face. What a wonderful story. It even has a happy ending, because today we can go to the National Gallery in Afghanistan and we can see all those original paintings, now beautifully restored, all saved by this creative and brave curator. But this tale of art hidden and art saved is more than just a great story. It's a metaphor, a beautiful metaphor about our lives and about the purpose of our reflections this morning. You see, we are the paintings. We are beautiful, magnificent creations made in the image of God. And even though we are all made by the same Creator and carry that Creator's spark within us, each of us is somehow different and unique, just like the paintings in a museum. We each have our own particular beauty, not the beauty perceived by the eye, but that perceived by the heart. We each have so much potential to be good, to do good in this world. We each have so much ability to learn and to grow and to continually change for the better. We each have so much capacity for love and kindness and justice. When we hold true to who we truly are, when we treat others according to our highest of ideals, when our actions and words reflect that divine spark that lies within us, we are magnificent, beautiful paintings to behold. But then life happens. We are mistreated by others or neglected by those we love. We are caught in situations that are unfair and unjust. We are blindsided by unexpected tragedy. Sometimes we make the difficulties of life even worse by our own choices and bad decisions. And with each struggle, with each hurt, with each disappointment, we cover up our true magnificent self. We don't need paint to do this. We don't need watercolors to hide our true image. No, we use the colors of anger and hate, of bitter humor, of defensiveness and resentment. We cover ourselves with colors of sorrow, with regret and despair. And sometimes it's not sorrow, but it's the busy, hectic nature of modern life that covers up who we really are, who mask our true colors. Things we used to love to do, activities that used to give us so much joy, have been swamped, covered up by the long hours of work, the carpools, the homework, the demands of caring for our children, the demands of caring for our parents. The bike sits in the basement, the piano sits untouched, the writing pad sits on the shelf. When someone looks at our life, who we once were, and what we once did, that life can no longer be seen at all. Life just seems to pile it on, layer after layer, until we begin to forget what we truly look like. Like the paintings in the museum, we need to wash away those layers of hurt and sorrow and anger that the years have given us. We need to wipe off the layers caused by our hectic schedule and our way too busy days. We need to wash away the watercolors of life that cover who we truly are and who we truly can be. But how? How will we find a way to have our own true colors, our own magnificence, reemerge? Who will be our curator, our brave and creative soul, with his bucket of water and old cloth, willing and able to wash away all of these layers? In Jewish tradition, it is taught that our first curator is, of course, God. There are so many places in our prayer book that tell us how the sincerity of prayer and repentance can help us achieve a sense of being cleansed before God. Therefore, during our prayers this morning, let us ask God, in whatever form we envision him or her to be, let us ask that God to send us the strength we need to heal from old wounds. Let us ask for the courage we need to forgive others and the compassion we need to forgive ourselves. Let us ask for the wisdom we need to let go of things we cannot do anything about. During our prayers, let us connect with that divine spark that dwells within each of us and ask for help as we wash away the bitterness and the sorrow and the anger and begin once again to see our true selves. But we have another curator, and that curator is ourselves. During moments of reflection, of intense self-inspection, let us pledge to reconnect with some of those long-buried aspects of ourselves that used to give us so much joy. We have that ability. We have that capacity to examine our overscheduled lives and to make changes. Changes that will allow us to spend more time together with our families, our friends, and yes, with ourselves. Let us find the power to return to the things we love, to make those pledges as we wash away the craziness of life and begin once again to see our own true colors. And finally, That's right. We have a third curator to turn to. We have each other. We can pick up that metaphoric bucket of water and old cloth, and we can help wash away the layers from each other. If we see someone burdened by sorrow, we can comfort them and sustain them through their time of grief with our friendship. If we see someone burdened by anger and resentment, we can be that patient and listening ear and help them let go of their frustration. If we see someone burdened by too much to do and by too little time, we can offer a ride, a dinner, a night off, a night out. Let's reach out to each other and be each other's curator as we wash away the layers imposed by life and begin again to see each other's true beauty. There's a wonderful Hasidic tale that illustrates this message beautifully. A famous rabbi and teacher would house poor students in his home at night. And when they were sleeping, he would go bed to bed to bed and cover them with blankets. Once he stopped in front of his most brilliant and poorest student and noticed that the student's face was covered with soot and dirt. The rabbi reached into his pocket and took out a cloth and proceeded to gently wipe off the student's face. When the student stirred, the rabbi said, shh, go back to sleep, my son. I just wanted to see God's face. Let us learn how to wipe off the soot and dirt of life from each other, exposing the divine face that lies below. Let us learn to wipe off our own faces, covered by years of neglect, by slowing down, and by making the changes we need to make. Let us learn to wipe away the hurt and the pain and the sorrow. Let us all be that curator in Afghanistan, washing away the layers imposed by life, and allowing our true selves, our beautiful selves, and yes, our divine selves to emerge once again. May our goal be not only to always see the beauty in a work of art by Monet, or to see the beauty each time we walk into a museum. Let our goal be to always see the beauty each time we look at each other. And may we see the beauty each time we look in the mirror, sensing that there is a magnificent creation there, a magnificent work of art, just below the surface, waiting to be revealed.